This is Batgirl, and this episode of Legends of the Dark Knight features Stephen C. Phillips and Mike Blanchard.
Hello and welcome to the first episode of the Legends of the Dark Knight podcast. I am your host, Steve Megatron Phillips, and joining me is...
DFG1 Mike, hello.
Hello, how's it been going?
It's going.
Yes, it's been going here as well.
Yes, it's going.
I just moved a couch, so I'm extremely sore. And it's a monster couch. Like, each end is like 8 foot, and then it curves like at the end because it's one of those.
It's one of those sectionals.
It's one of those sectionals, but it's before they thought to make them into three pieces instead of two. So it's cut directly in the middle, so it's a bitch to get out. And
so it's a sectional from the '80s. Okay.
No, it's a modern one. The sad thing about it is, it's such a pain in the ass to take care of that I was ready to chuck the bastard over the balcony. And my wife's like, no, we need to try and sell it. And I'm like, yeah, I know, but I just want to watch it burn. Unfortunately, that's not going to be the case. So we had a friend come over and help. Otherwise, I can guarantee it would not exist any longer.
Mm-hmm.
Quite literally. That's what I've spent my evening doing. So anything new with you?
Just podcasting, sending out requests for interviews, finally moved upstairs to the new apartment. Well, ooh, not ooh. All the way moved in, but for the majority, I mean, most of the major stuff is here. I just got little piddly shit to go downstairs and get again or bring back up here. Let's see, what else? Kevin and I started the Masters of the Universe podcast series. Of course, we won't actually start it until next year. I started Beyond the Night, which again, won't actually really start until next year, but they're all there. The feeds are all there and everything else. Let's see, Tooncast Beyond is about to launch in a couple weeks. It's Halloween, and I could give a shit less about Halloween.
You know, I could almost agree at this point because I don't really do jack shit with Halloween anymore.
I'm too old, I'm too fat for costumes, so...
I'm just too fucking lazy. We'll just put it that way.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, Halloween, like when I was a kid, Halloween was cool, Halloween was great, dress up. I remember the three costumes I remember ever using besides like, just a sheet for a ghost. I had a 1966 Batman mask and a 1966 blue cape, Batman cape. So, you know, that whole gray and blue and yellow Batman suit from the 66 Batman, I had that. 1 year, 89, when the Batman movie came out, the Tim Burton Batman movie came out, my mom actually made me out of, you know, like she sewed me a Batman costume, which was pretty cool. And then I think 1990 or 91, I was Donatello from TMNT.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, yeah. The other one is really funny. We couldn't find any He-Man costumes 1 year, so I went as Skeletor 1 year.
Huh. He-Man.
Yes, I was
He-Man.
The Skeletor. Wow, I did that amazingly well. Holy shit.
That was pretty good. Maybe you should break into voice acting and replace the new Skeletor.
No. I leave that up to you, sir. You and your paid applications there.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Oh, man.
Yes.
That's pretty much it. There's really nothing else going on other than that.
I do have to list on a kind of ironic note.
Yes.
1 year I was Batman. For Halloween, I was the goddamn Batman.
Cool.
Back in the Michael Keaton days. Yes, I was just a young little tyke.
Michael Keaton and Val Kilmer are the two...
Live action. Next to...
Two best ones.
Next to Adam West.
Out of the live action ones, yeah. Because Michael Keaton played an excellent Batman, but an okay Bruce Wayne. And Val Kilmer played an excellent Bruce Wayne, but an okay Batman.
So if you mix the two, you have a good Batman and Bruce Wayne.
Yes, exactly. If only Kevin Conroy would take the live-action role.
He wouldn't fit the look, but my God, can he do that?
Oh, I'm sure he could fit the look if he really wanted to. I'm sure he could.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yes.
I think Keaton should come back and be Batman Beyond, like the old Bruce Wayne. Because he could fit the look now for that old Bruce Wayne.
He's not that old.
No, but he could, if you gave him some gray hair, yeah, he'd fit that role perfect.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen mock-up photos of people having that and then somebody else play Terry McGinnis.
Yeah.
It could be done.
Oh, yes.
But anyways, on to the actual and true Batman form. We will get into the first episode of the Batman the Animated Series, starting off with On Leather Wings.
There he is! There they are! What is that thing? That thing is what we're after! Holy!
First up is On Leather Wings, as you heard before the break. A mysterious creature is mistaken for Batman, and the police send a task force after him. I need to learn how to speak. Anyways, your thoughts, sir?
You know, we hear Batman before we ever hear Batman.
Yeah, no, that's something that you actually mentioned to me on Tooncast proper, and I didn't quite know that before the fact.
Yes, the blimp pilot is voiced by Kevin Conroy.
Which is actually quite cool if you think about it.
Oh, yeah. Yep. And in the reverse of that, when they went onto JLU, they basically mirrored the... this beginning scene with Terry McGinnis as Batman, and I believe Conroy was the voice of the helicopter pilot in that as well.
See, in the DCAU, it's all about irony.
Yes.
What
yes,
can we use is. Twice and make it have the same effect?
Yeah. For me, this episode, it's good. I like it. The only problem is, as a kid, I don't remember seeing, because I didn't really watch this a lot as a kid, because according to my stepmother, it was too violent. Heaven forbid.
Boo to them.
Yes, exactly. So when I finally did get around to watching this, I was like, this is Man-Spider all over again.
Yeah, that is.
Yeah, what I mean by that is Spider-Man the Animated Series, which technically came 2 years after this show started, did Peter Parker turning into the Man-Spider, and I had actually seen that before I had seen this. I like this episode. It's a... this was the first produced episode, but it wasn't what the first airing episode was. The Cat in the Claw Part 1, which is, I don't know, the production order and the episode air date order are so messed up for this series.
I know they're all over the place, which to me is kind of odd. I don't know why they would not produce them and just play them in the same order.
Yeah,
because to me it's like that on the disc. I mean, it makes more sense to do it in the actual order it was produced.
Yeah, and that's why I said in the episode zero of this podcast that we are going by what the order on the DVDs, because that's what makes the most sense to us. What did you have for On Leather Wings?
Well, I kind of like the fact that they started right out with them hunting Batman, thinking that, oh, great, he's hurting all these innocent people.
Yeah.
Granted, I didn't see this episode until much later on in the reruns, and I honestly don't really care for this particular Man-Bat character. It's something about I didn't even care for the Spider, you know, the Man Spider, Spider, Spider Man. It's just that whole beast thing in the series, and it'll come back up in this series as well. I don't really care for that kind of thing. I think it worked well in Batman Beyond, but here in the animated series, I don't quite care for it. I like how they executed it, as it was fairly interesting way of doing so. And it goes to show you that, you know, these sometimes scientists, it just, they get a little hog wild. Try stuff on themselves. It's like a drug. But anyways, you know, just the Man-Bat thing, not only was it creepy, which I think was part of my problem.
Yeah,
because I didn't really get into any kind of horror-ish stuff until later in my life.
Right.
This freaked the hell out of me as a kid.
You know, going back and watching this episode, what I really loved about it was a lot of the sound.
Oh, yeah. You could tell that they took some actual, like, sound from some bats and some other stuff.
Yeah. I loved the bat screeching sound. You know, I love how Batman has to investigate the sounds of it and basically just goes through the motions of, you know, same thing that you see in a lot of these police investigative shows like Forensic Files and New Detectives and, you know, a lot of those types of investigative shows on like True TV and crap like that, where they, you know, take it to computer crimes or somewhere, you know, the analysts to you know, say you hear a bell tolling in the background of a car screeching. Well, they have all these machines that can, you know, analyze that sound and basically separate that sound from everything else. So I like that. I also like how the mystery of Man-Bat, people confusing it for Batman. I like that whole aspect of it. But just the whole story of a guy experimenting on himself, like that whole storyline of, oh, we lost our funding or we couldn't get the research money, so we had to experiment on ourselves. That's just the most cliche, one of the most cliched and old storylines in history.
Oh yeah, they use that ploy all the freaking time.
Yeah.
It gets kind of old seeing it. However, at this time, it was common, but it wasn't as common as nowadays. Like, in damn near everything you watch now, they're all like, let's inject the formula and see what it does. but you can almost equate that to showing, and it's kind of wrong, but you can almost equate it to showing kids how to shoot up.
Yeah.
Because he's kind of addicted to the formula at one point.
Yeah.
To where he has almost a split personality as well, with Man-Bat being its own and him being one.
Yeah.
And it's kind of creepy. And
it's very creepy.
It's very creepy. Especially when you see him in mid-transformation.
Yep.
And he's got that, like, almost werewolf ish style to him.
Yeah.
But you know, by the end of it, Batman manages, of course, to create a reversal to the transformation and delivers the dumb scientist to his wife. So I mean, in all's well that ends well in that. But it also, this technology is used again twice in the Batman continuity.
Yeah, it's used in Batman Beyond with splicing, and it's used in Justice League. Dr. Milo uses it in Justice League Unlimited for Cadmus.
Yeah, so I mean, everything's relative in the DCAU.
Yes. What did you think of the overall, like, since this is the first episode that we're seeing, what did you think of the overall design of Gotham, the overall design of Wayne Manor, the Batcave, all that stuff?
I loved the darkness of it.
Yeah.
I could definitely see some of the movie tones in there.
Yeah.
But I like how it's executed here much, much better than I did on the actual live action.
Yeah.
Some of the imagery, and I think it was because I was looking through the eyes of a child when I went to rewatch these. Some of them I could have sworn looked way better than they did upon rewatching them. Yeah. Not to say that they weren't good episodes, but I think I remembered them better than what they were for some of them.
Yeah.
And this one is among them. I still cannot really... I'll watch it for the sake of watching it,
yeah,
but I still don't care for this episode.
Yeah, no, I don't care for it either, but, you know, the context of this entire series... when Bruce Timm and Eric Radomski first started, you know, when they were approached to make a Batman cartoon, the way that they've said in the commentaries on the DVDs is that these are basically mini movies. You know, it does have some continuity to the series, but there isn't. I mean, it's, you know, it's kind of like, you know, back in the 30s and 40s when people would go to the movie of the week. You know, you would see, you know, several cartoons before the movie, and if one of the cartoons was a two-parter, you'd have to come back the next week to see the second part. And that's the same thing with these. These are basically mini-movies within themselves. There's a few episodes that do a lot with the Bat continuity, but the actual overall continuity of the DC Animated Universe almost doesn't start until Superman the Animated Series. I mean, there are certain things that tie back and forth between this and the other ones, but I mean, really, when they set out to make this show, they weren't even thinking about continuity.
Oh no, this was the very first show, and then it just kind of trickled from there. And I'm eternally grateful that they got to go on from Batman the Animated Series through to Superman the Animated Series, giving Superman an update. And then doing an update to the Justice League, and then, course, the final update with a new concept of Batman Beyond, which I also greatly love because it continues another of... essentially, you can almost say that all of them except for Superman pretty much are the story of Batman's adventures.
Yeah, pretty much. Here's some trivia for you. This episode was the first one to feature Batman bleeding. Bruce Timm stated in the DVD commentary for this episode that he and Paul Dini fought with the censors to allow this shot, which was deemed inappropriate for younger viewers.
Really?
Yep.
Censors be damned.
Batman answers Dr. March's phone call by saying, "What's up, Doc?" Bugs Bunny's catchphrase.
Nice.
Dr. March's line, "They're survivors," referring to bats, was similarly said by Batman in Tim Burton's Batman, "They're great survivors." The opening of the episode is reverse shot for shot in the end of Justice League Unlimited episode epilogue, which I already mentioned. This marks one of the very few times in the series where Batman speaks using Bruce Wayne's voice. Basically what that means is Bruce Wayne... You know, certain superheroes, Superman, Clark Kent, Peter Parker, Spider-Man, Batman, Bruce Wayne. You know, Bruce sees himself as Batman. Bruce Wayne is the facade.
Oh yeah.
I mean, if he could get away with it, he would be Batman 24/7, because that's the way he sees himself.
Well,
because
he is Batman.
No, I know that, but what I'm saying is like okay, take Superman for example. In Superman's case, Clark Kent is the real person, and Superman is the facade. Superman is just the character that Clark Kent is playing. Whereas Batman and Bruce Wayne, it's reversed. So, you know, I really like that. I mean, but what I really like about that scene about Batman, you know, about him using Bruce's voice while in the costume, I think that's pretty cool. And again, Kevin Conroy, up to this point in time, up to 1992, Kevin Conroy really is the first person to have two very different distinctive voices for the two characters, for Batman and Bruce Wayne. Batman is kind of like, he's deeper and down here and he doesn't wear hockey pants. Whereas Bruce Wayne is kind of like what my normal... I'm not saying I'm nowhere near Kevin Conroy, but I'm saying like the differences is that Bruce Wayne is a lighter, more upbeat tone. And I absolutely love that they have that Kevin did two different distinct voices for the two characters.
Oh yeah, and that was just something that you never really had with any of the Batman series, really.
This is interesting. I don't know if you know this, being the Supernatural fan that you are. The opening of the episode is also mirrored in the opening scene of the Supernatural episode, Like a Virgin, with a small plane passenger asking the pilot if they saw that flying outside the window that looked like a large bat. Perhaps in respect to this, Batman is mentioned later in the episode.
No, I did not know that. That is actually quite funny. Because I do love that series of Supernatural as well. It's
now,
better than a Superman reference. A Batman reference is always 10 times better.
We don't want... Now, Clark, we don't want you being like that nut from Gotham City. Sorry, that's from Superman. The only thing that I really don't like so far out of the first 9 or so episodes from Batman the Animated Series is that Clyde Revel is the voice of Alfred Pennyworth.
Yeah, I definitely have to, and I can't like totally discredit him, but I prefer the voice actor that takes over later.
Yeah, Clive Revel, Clive, not Clyde. Clive Revel is the voice of Alfred up to, I think, the first 9 episodes, and then Ephraim Zimbalist Jr. takes over. For me, as far as Alfred's over the years, it's Alan something. Alan Napier, who did the 66 Alfred. Michael Goff, who did the 89 Alfred, Ephraim Zimbalist Jr., who does Alfred for the majority of the animated series, and then Michael Caine. Those are my 4 favorite Alfreds.
I agree with you 100%. No complaint.
Yep. So, I think we're done with On Leather Wings.
Yes. One other note, and it's in the quotes, and I love this. Batman reads, "Gotham Police declare war on Batman, Alfred. Says, I gather you've been reading How to Make Friends and Influence People. Batman replies to him saying, somebody's setting me up. Alfred says, my heavens, you mean it wasn't you tossing guards out of a windows last night? Batman says, I only toss butlers, Alfred. That's just, to me, he throws these little smart-ass comments towards Alfred, and it's funny. They kind of play those little jokes back and forth with each other all series long.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, and Alfred, thankfully, is a very active role in the series. He's not just, you know, just there. Which, I mean, yeah, he is kind of based on a lot of the other Alfreds. But, I mean, he's kind of got more of a fatherly sidekick.
Yeah. Alfred in this series, and Alfred throughout the DCAU, is pretty much Bruce Wayne's adopted father. I mean, considering what Bruce's, you know, raising was. I mean, you know, his parents got killed right in front of him when he was 8 years old. So, you know, Alfred had to raise him. And, you know, Alfred is a perfect father figure for a lot of people, honestly.
I'd love to have Alfred.
As a father, you mean?
Yes.
Okay.
Anyways, we'll be moving on. Up is Christmas with the Joker. Christmas with the Joker is the 38th episode of Batman Animated Series, where Joker escapes Arkham Asylum on Christmas Eve and has a special Christmas plan for Batman and Robin. Kidnapping Commissioner Gordon, Summer Gleason, and Harvey Bullock, he threatens to kill them at midnight. Of course, things are never easy with the Joker, and he sets a few disasters in motion to keep Batman and Robin busy that Christmas night. I just love the initial start of this episode where they're all the inmates are just decorating this tree, and then the Joker's singing his own, you know, jingle bells, Batman smells. Mm-hmm. And then he says, and the Joker got away. And then, you know, of course he puts the tip of the thing for the tree, and he's holding onto the tree and the tree rockets away. And I just thought that was hilarious.
Yeah. Again, talking about mirroring in the DCAU, Flash uses, you know, Batmobile lost its wheel and the Joker got away. He uses that in Panic in the Sky in Justice League.
Nice.
You know, I'm not really sure if this was a really great introductory, like, as far as the production order, you know, going from On Leather Wings to this, I'm not sure if this was the perfect Joker episode for them to start with. I like it. I think it's really funny. I think it's really cool. But I don't know. It's kind of weird to start with a Christmas episode for the Joker.
Well, and they were trying to copy, like, It's a Wonderful Life, which was kind of interesting. Batman's like, I've never seen it. Yeah, and Robin's like, you've never seen it? You know, and just kind of starts beating him up like, you suck. You need to watch it, you know? And it's just funny because Batman's got this kind of bah humbug thing about him for the whole episode. And the Joker's trying to get a, you know, a rise out of him this whole time. You know, just to have it come back in his face. But I love the fact that the Joker is kind of more than ordinarily stupid in this episode, despite the fact that he's not actually as stupid as he appears.
Yeah.
I think it's funny the whole outfit he's wearing, so it looks like a telethon, you know, TV show host
outfit.
A very festive jacket. Instead of his proper attire of the purple suit.
Well, he does have the purple pants, so.
Yes, he does have purple pants, so you can tell that he just swapped out the top wardrobe for the weekend. But it's quite funny to see him turn this all into some big special joke, and get Batman and Robin running on wild goose chases that by all means should never have been able to be accomplished by the time the clock hit the time that they were supposed to be there.
Yeah.
They would have been all dead.
They would have been.
No way that Batman and Robin could have taken care of all the stuff the Joker set them to do.
Yeah. Now, this is both the first appearance of the Joker and Robin. I'd have to say that Lauren Lester, who voices Robin, is probably one of my favorite, probably my number one favorite Robin voice for the Dick Grayson version of Robin. I really like the voice that he lent to it. Now, I don't know if Lauren Lester is one of those types like Barry Gordon where his voice is the voice, or if he was putting on a voice, I'm not sure. Maybe we can get it. I can look him up on IMDb Pro. Okay, no
anyways.
Folder, sorry.
Anyways. yes, I have to agree that I do love this version of Dick Grayson Robin.
Yeah.
I love the fact that, you know, of course it continues on through Nightwing in the next season and everything, or the next series of the next continuation of this particular part of the series.
Right, yeah.
I should say, being that it's not next season or anything, but it's just kind of a weird episode to introduce both the Joker and Robin at the same time with no meaning of any kind of origin to anybody. It's just kind of a weird jump right into it, and there we are.
And again, that's why I said this is kind of weird that this was the, even though this is the 38th episode aired episode, this was the one that was second in the production order. And it's so weird to go from On Leather Wings, where you have just Batman in that, to this where you're getting the Joker, you're getting Robin. It's nice that they're there, but I mean, there's no, again, it goes to the fact of what I said before about that these are technically just mini movies. There is no real setup of introducing characters.
And there's not really any continuity, at least to start out with.
No.
It's just kind of all over the place, which, you know, that's fine. And like you said, the mini movie thing, it does definitely fit that role. And I could, you know, I definitely enjoy the half hour shows, or actually like 23 minute shows, every time that I watch one. And this one, of course, is no different. I love, for one, my favorite villain in the Batman series wasn't always the Joker. Mm-hmm. However, he was my close second when I was younger. Now I'd have to say he's my first. My primary was the Riddler, and that's because of an episode coming up later on, and I'll explain why when we get to that point. But those two were pretty much my number two, you know, my top two villains, and anything with the Joker in it is gold to me. Like, I just... I'll seek out, if there was a best of the Joker in the Batman the Animated Series or the DCAU, and they just had everything that contained the Joker in it, I would watch the hell out of it.
That would be awesome.
Because, and honestly, I wish they would, but it's being that it's Warner Brothers, that'll never happen.
No, not anymore.
No. But yeah, the Joker is quite funny in this episode, though. His stolen family is nicknamed the Awful Lawful Family. And he has a puppet pal named Laffy.
Oh, God. Oh, reminds me of that Dexter's Laboratory short, Just Us Friends, where Krunk watches a show called Puppet Pals.
Yes, that's why I made the reference.
Oh, God. Because
it kind of reminded me of that almost. This was kind of a weird episode as far as the Joker in this episode, because he didn't quite... I mean, obviously it's the first aired episode of it, or not first aired episode, but first produced.
Yeah.
So that means that it was probably recorded way early on. Before Mark Hamill got into the role, really.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can kind of hear him in there doing the Joker, but it's not like our total genuine Joker that he kind of slides into now easily, because of a couple decades of practice. But I just love the whole part of that. And there are quite a bit of interesting quotes as well on the episode. First of all, the Jingle Bells Batman smells. Everybody knows that part. But he continues it with crashing through the roof in a one-horse open tree, busting out I go, laughing all the way, the wee. And another one of my favorite quotes is between Robin and Batman, where Robin goes, come on, Batman, it's Christmas Eve. Let's kick back and get into the spirit. Batman's like, the Joker's escaped from Arkham Asylum, Robin. And Robin says, and you really think he's going to make his move on Christmas Eve? Even scumbags spend the holidays with their families. He has no family.
Yeah.
Isn't this the first one where we say the Joker, or not the Joker, Batman actually, like, smile and laugh at the Joker?
I think so, yeah. I think this is the only time.
I think it is, too, which I thought was quite humorous, because the Joker's trying so hard to get a rise out of Batman, and this is the only time he can, is because a pie hits him in the face.
Yeah. Yeah, and I like I like another quote from Robin. He could give lessons to Scrooge.
Oh, yeah. I would like to see Christmas with the Joker on actual television. Not necessarily just this episode, just, you know, Mark Hamill dressed as the Joker. Never happened, but it'd be hilarious.
Like, run as fast as you can. You'll not catch me. I'm the Joker Man.
Wasn't that used later on?
Probably. I have no clue.
You never know.
You never know. Overall, by itself, it's a fun episode. But if you're looking at it as, you know, not tying in, but if you're looking at it as an introductory episode, it's not that great of an episode. I mean, both the Joker and Robin are just there. They act like that they've been there for forever, and this is only the second episode into the series. But all the humor that the Joker has is really well done. You know, Batman smiling or laughing, that was well done. For it being the one time that it was. Overall, if it was, you know, during Christmas time, I could see myself watching this episode. Any other time, probably not.
Yeah, sad as it is, I'd have to say that as well for this episode, because it's not the greatest one with the Joker and with Batman in it. You know, I mean, it's just, There could have been better episodes with Joker, and this isn't really one of them.
Yeah.
Although it is entertaining, quite fun to watch. So if you're into that, that is a plus. But it's not the best Joker episode. So I think with that, we'll be moving on to the next episode.
No, not now.
You are a disgrace.
No, you are not my father. I am not a disgrace. I am vengeance. I am the night. I am Batman!
Next up is Nothing to Fear, which is the third episode of the first season of Batman Animated Series. Due to schedule changes, it was the 10th episode to air. A criminal calling himself the Scarecrow starts wreaking havoc and revenge against Gotham University, stealing funds while intoxicating people with a gas that causes nightmarish hallucinations. When Batman first tries to stop him, he gets intoxicated and begins to see his worst fear, his father considering him to be a failure. It's just so weird that you know, and not to try and do a wiki reference, but why would they call it intoxicated? It sounds like he's drinking.
Well,
which, you know, technically you do have hallucinations when you drink, but at least some people do. But
Well, the thing of it is that it's a fear toxin. So basically, fear gas.
Yeah, so that makes sense.
So, I mean, it's kind of like when in Batman Beyond, when old Bruce is making the Joker antitoxin, you know, to fend off the Joker gas. So that's the same thing here.
I wonder what Joker gas is made of. And Scarecrow gas. And Freeze gas. But anyways, that's off topic.
I like this episode, but again, this episode is one of those... I can almost see now why my stepmom didn't want me watching this show, because holy crap, was this episode scary.
Scarecrow, I'd have to say, is the number one scariest Batman character.
Yeah.
And with good reason.
Yep.
I personally, I love the voice for this. I love the way they displayed him. I love the character design, the whole creepy way that Jonathan Crane is played. It fits this character to a T. And it's kind of funny actually seeing how he creates all this fear toxin and royally screws everybody up, including Batman himself, which, you know, his first freak out was seeing his dad.
Yeah.
Who'd been, you know, dead, and it's also played by Kevin Conroy.
Yep.
Which was another interesting note. And it's weird to see Batman actually get taken down.
Oh, yeah.
Because you think of him as this great, invincible guy, but then he's, like, almost to the point of crying because his dad's telling him he's a loser.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, see the thing about that is though, you know, in Bruce Wayne's origin, you know, he feels... He was the one that wanted to go see the movie. He was the one that wanted to go out and do something that night. And, you know, he feels guilty for his parents getting killed. So, of course, that's going to haunt him. I mean, you know, that is going to be one of his worst fears, is that his father will basically say he is a failure.
Yeah. Now, and with Scarecrow, he's got your typical, you know, something bad happens, he hates who he works for, so he decides to destroy them from the inside out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's just your typical villain in general. And, you know, of course, he's no different. But he's also the professor of psychology at a university. What in Sam Hell would make him switch to a life of crime just because he... I mean, I understand if you hate it that bad and people mess with you because you're, you know, kind of a freak. Because of your weird infatuation with a mask. But, you know, and his love for fear and phobias. And, but still, he's, you know, of course, like many of the DCAU villains, they kind of hit a, you know, crazy point. They snap and then... they're forever down the dark path.
Yep. Well, I mean, look at Mr. Freeze, and we'll talk about him later on in the podcast, not today, but in later episodes. But look at Mr. Freeze. You know, in this series, they made him... before this series, Mr. Freeze was just another villain with a gun. He's just another villain with a gimmick. They made him likable. They made him a redeemable character. They gave him a tortured past with the fact that, you know, the people that he was working for basically screwed him over, you know, this and anything. So, I mean, that's one thing. I'm not exactly sure what the hell happened with Jonathan Crane at the university, other than people like making fun of him or criticizing him or not believing in him.
I think it was just people teased him and he didn't like it. So he was like, you know, I'll get even with you.
Fuck you, I'm gonna make you afraid of whatever it is you're afraid of.
You bastard. but yeah, at least Freeze, like you said, at least he has a redeemable quality.
Yeah.
Which is nice. But Yeah, Jonathan Crane, Scarecrow has Batman so ragged. Bruce is sitting there analyzing Scarecrow's, you know, mask and waiting for stuff, and he's just, you know, chilled to the bone, still seeing that image of his father, you know, just, and he's still freaking out, and it's crazy to see Batman and Bruce that torn apart. Because I mean, it rarely happens in this series, and this is just one of those instances where you get to see some of his inside humanity just kind of come out.
Yep. Overall, I like the episode. It does, you know, it does have its nitpicking issues. It is a very scary episode, no pun intended.
But it does have a gargoyles moment.
Yes, it does.
Because when Batman uses the crazy juice against Scarecrow, Scarecrow sees Batman as a giant gargoyle bat. And the funny thing is, when Batman's mastering his fear, he says, "I am vengeance. I am the night. I am Batman," you know, and then of course he plows through and kicks Scarecrow's ass. But yeah, it's just I love this whole like redeeming moment at the end. I also love the fact that the Batmobile is remote controlled. That's just, and I love this Batmobile. Yeah, I like
Batmobile
this.
Is kick. The Batmobile is honestly a animated version of the 89 Batmobile from the movie. I mean, it's not as, I mean, it does have a slightly different design, and it's blue, not black, but I mean, it has that same sleek design the original 89 Batmobile did. Thank God it wasn't a convertible car or a converter hatch car like the 66 one was.
Well, see, this one, I love this Batmobile because not only does it have similarities to the 89 movie, but the front end's got kind of a, like a 1930s look to it. So the whole Batmobile in general, I loved that toy when I had it as a kid. And I actually looked to re-get it when I obtained all my Batman figures and from the attic, and then when I purchased various ones I didn't have. I didn't have the room for the actual Batmobile, so I actually bought the Hot Wheels Batmobile die-cast. And it's, you know, it's accurate and it's fairly decent sized. It's a little bit bigger than a regular Hot Wheel, but I had to have this Batmobile.
Awesome. Bit of trivia here. Let's see here. At one point in the Batmobile, computer shows a list of nearby chemical companies. Among the companies shown are Star Labs from Superman's comics, which would later be featured in Superman the Animated Series, and Access Chemicals, which is the company that turned Jack Napier into the Joker in the 1989 Batman movie. Bullock mentions Batman's refusal to comply with the investigation, saying to Gordon, "Zorro here's been holding evidence." Accidentally, the character of Zorro was once one of the major influences of Bob Kane.
That's
Not accidentally, incidentally.
That is quite interesting, though, of how he conceived Batman.
Yes.
I am Zorro.
You already mentioned about I Am Vengeance, I Am the Night, which it's a signature of Kevin Conroy, and he often performs it at the start of his appearances at conventions. Obviously, it was also used in the opening line of the Batman musical in Out of the Past.
That was a hilarious musical, by the way.
Yes. Yes, it was.
Yes. But this episode, granted, was kind of creepy. But was overall enjoyable, so I can't knock it at all. It's very hard to pick an episode in this series that I don't care for. I pretty much anything with the splicing in the regular animated series, or Batman Classic, I should say. I don't like any of those type episodes.
Yeah.
But pretty much everything else is gold. I mean,
Yeah.
Even these freaky episodes with like Scarecrow in it, these plots are so connected and done well that you don't even think, you think the episode actually lasts a lot longer than 23 minutes.
Yeah. And again, it goes to the feel, and I'm probably going to say this throughout the entire podcast, not just this episode, but other episode. It goes towards the feel that they were going for. The pacing isn't so fast. It isn't too slow. It's just right. And again, they're going for that mini movie of the week type of feel. So 20 between 21 and 23 minutes, it feels like a lot longer than it should be.
Oh, yeah.
But it was very, very cool.
So with that, we'll be back after this.
Imagine that, sir. Huh? What? Someone dressed up in a frightening costume running around scaring people. What will they think of next?
On Batman, the Joker blankets Gotham with laughing gas to go on a crime spree.
This is what I call a sidewalk scene.
Batman tries to end the mayhem.
Cut the clown.
But will the Joker have the last laugh? Watch Batman, the animated series, tomorrow afternoon on Fox.
Last up today is The Last Laugh. It's April Fool's Day, and Joker unleashes a supply of laughing gas on Gotham City, incapacitating its populace and allowing him to steal things at his leisure. Only Batman, equipped with a gas mask, manages to escape its effects. This is quite possibly my favorite episode of the day.
I love the sub-main title music to this episode. It's so awesome.
I love every bit of music in this episode. Everything in this, I could sit and listen to this episode and not even watch it, and it would be great by itself.
Yeah.
But adding that to the awesomeness that is this episode, in writing and in visuals, you just have a kick-ass episode.
Oh, yeah.
And you can't have a kick-ass episode without Captain Clown.
Oh, this is the one with Captain Clown. Yes. I gotta find that clip. You killed Captain Clown.
You killed Captain Clown. How dare you kill Captain Clown?
Yeah. Oh, man, that's so awesome.
Yes, I besides the fact that the entire episode has a green stench coming across it, which I didn't really pay attention to that all that much, other than I was thinking, man, it's got to stink there. But it's just everything in this episode was hilarious to watch.
Yeah.
I
one thing I do have to mention, I forgot to mention it last episode in Nothing to Fear. Nothing to Fear was the last produced episode where Clive Revel was Alfred. Ephraim Zimbalist Jr. took over at that point, and this episode is the first time that we hear Ephraim Zimbalist Jr. as Alfred. He would continue the role until Alfred's final appearance in the Justice League finale, Starcrossed.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah.
I was definitely much, much more pleased with this version of Alfred.
Oh, yeah.
This to me is the best animated Alfred.
Yep. Couldn't agree more.
And the fact that they had, you know, Bruce actually notice that Alfred gets hit with it first.
Yeah.
Kind of makes you feel bad for Bruce because he's like, crap. Alfred just kind of flipping out.
Yeah.
And Bruce is like, what's going on? You know, of course, Bruce is hearing accident reports and everything in the radio. And, you know, poor Alfred is breaking stuff and everything else and dropping stuff and just laughing and everything else. And Batman's like, I got to knock him out for a little bit. But
Yeah. And it just goes to show you that, I mean, most of the episodes up to this point, the ones that had Clive Revel in them, he couldn't have done the comedy that Ephraim Zimbalist Jr. did in this episode.
Oh, no. And
I mean, he probably could have done it, but it wouldn't be as, you know, as
iconic.
Or, yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it's basically Joker spreading gas throughout the city on garbage barges. And it's basically it's basically a giant distraction so you can go out and rob people.
And they pretty much give it to him because they're not really able to consciously do anything.
Yep.
They're just kind of la 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 and running around, and Joker's like, steal their shit.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is, Batman does an analysis of it, of the gas, and says, you know, and finds out, oh, prolonged exposure will result in permanent insanity. He's like, great, that's just what I need. You get to see the Batboat.
Yep.
Which, you know, that's a first for the series.
Yep.
It will return, but I like the Batboat. That was pretty kick-ass.
Yeah, Batboat is very kick-ass.
I think it's funny when they shove Batman in a barrel.
Yeah, that was funny.
It's just, he's and then they take his mask, too, at one point.
Yep.
And you get to see Batman take off his cape to fight Captain Clown.
Yeah.
Who, for those of you that don't know, is a giant robot. Which Batman does not know until he beats him with a metal pole. And so, I think it's funny how Batman has to lure Captain Clown over to a car crusher and turns him into a small little cube, which is kind of ironic because in the last episode of the Transformation Animation Podcast, Blur got turned into a small cube as well.
Oh, stop it. It still hurts.
Yes, I know. Only it hurts worse because Blur was cool and Captain Clown, of course, being in one episode is cool because of proxy in this episode. But Joker gets pissed because, you know, of course, Batman killed Captain Clown.
Yeah.
And so he dumps a load of garbage onto him.
Yeah.
Which, of course, you know, Batman survives. And, Batman and the Joker go at it as they usually do.
Yes.
But Joker almost dies in an incinerator, which is quite hilarious. And then he's begging Batman. And he's like, you can't let me die. And then Batman just kind of smirks at him. Like, should I just let him fall? And, of course, you get to end out the episode with Bruce finally coming home and Alfred's cleaning up. And Alfred's upset that he broke it. And Bruce tells him that he'll take it out of his salary. And Alfred starts getting more upset. And then Bruce smiles and says, April Fools.
Yep.
Another quick, you know, jab at the butler.
Yep. Well, that's because Alfred earlier did the joke to Bruce about, you'll be happy to know I've drawn you a bath whenever you're ready. sees the tub is and Bruce looks and sees the tub is empty. What's the deal, Alfred? And he shows Bruce a picture of a bath. I said, I drew you a bath, sir. April Fools.
Yeah. I love this episode.
Yeah. And then further in that quote is, very funny, Alfred. I guess I'll just take a shower. And Alfred goes, not a funny bone in his entire body.
He gets one by the end.
Yeah. Clean up your act, Joker. Is that a joke? Batman finally told a joke? Ha ha.
I know, I love that. And you actually get to hear the Joker in his true form in this episode.
Oh yeah.
Which is quite nice.
Yep.
And another line of a part of that, you killed Captain Clown in the quotes. Hey, Batman, you stink so bad I can smell you from here. Pee!
Yeah, that was funny as well. Very funny. Overall, I like this episode a lot. It just goes to show you the chemistry that Batman and Joker have as arch enemies of each other.
Well, they're like yin and yang. They're like polar opposites. It's like Primus and Unicron for Transformers fans.
Wow.
It is. I mean, one can't
go that far.
One can't really exist without the other. So, I mean, it's kind of. I mean, they could, but I mean,
it's kind of funny you mention that
because it does happen. But
but it's kind of funny you mention that. I'll break you in two. Please, Batman, if you had the balls for that kind of fun, we'd be done this dance years ago.
Yeah, I know
I'm screwing the line up here, but
it'll come back in another episode. But,
yeah.
But yeah, I know what you're getting at, and it's just the fact that Batman won't go to that ultimatum that he needs to get rid of the Joker once and for all.
Yep.
The craziest of all of his rogue gallery, because there is no pattern. He'll do something just for shits and giggles, whereas the rest of them have some set plan.
Yep.
He'll do it just to get a rise out of Batman. And the Joker, of course, isn't willing to kill Batman, but he likes to play around with the idea.
Well, because he knows if he kills Batman, who else does he have to torture? Nobody.
Because there's no fun left.
Yeah.
Who's going to chase him? Nobody.
No.
So yes, I have to say, out of the four episodes today, I'd have to say this one overall, and even by itself, takes the cake.
Yeah.
And like I said before, the audio, the visual, and the music just it blows everything away. It's one of the episodes I can watch at any given time and not get bored of it.
Yeah. I completely agree, yeah.
So, with that, we'll be right back after this commercial break.
Like animation? Come listen to Animation Aficionados.
And if you disagree with us, you could be a guest on a future show.
Available on iTunes, the Zune Market, and animationaficionados.com.
You can now hear the Geekcast Radio Network on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, or Palm phones. On demand and on the go. Don't have Stitcher? Download it for free today using promo code GeekCastRadio at Stitcher.com/GeekCastRadio or in the app stores. Stitcher Smart Radio. The smarter way to listen to radio.
Tooncast is dedicated to the cartoons we grew up with. 100 episodes and more make up one of the GCRN's most popular podcasts. Join hosts TFGO and Mike, Optimus Solo, Terror the Rising Star, and tons of guest hosts. We also have voice actor and writer interviews. Tune in to Tooncast as we look back on the cartoons that defined us as geeks. You can find Tooncast on iTunes and the web at www.geekcastradio.com. Tune in.
Hey, I'm Gary.
I'm Greg.
I'm Chuck.
And I'm Justin.
Join the four of us every week on the internet's number one G.I. Joe podcast, What's on Joe Mind? That's right. It's Joe news, reviews, and special guests like you've never heard them before delivered right to your MP3 player.
Think of it as Joe Talk meets Sports Talk. And we make fun of Chuck.
Right. Hey.
We're just kidding, Chuck. Kinda.
Yeah. Sometimes Chuck makes fun of himself.
Right. Hey.
It's What's on Joe Mind. Every week on the Geekcast Radio Network, InsidePulse.com, Stitcher Smart Radio, and iTunes. Download and listen today.
Can I say something about Transformers?
No!
Welcome back! And we will be pretty much finishing this off for the episode, for the first episode of The Legends of the Dark Knight. So what are your thoughts overall on our four today?
Overall, if we were doing a point scale, I'd probably give On Leather Wings a 5 out of 10. I'd give Christmas with the Joker a 7 out of 10. I'd give Nothing to Fear a 6 out of 10, and I'd give The Last Laugh a 9 out of 10. Just overall, as far as being able to enjoy the episodes, not really going too deep and analyzing them so much. There are some out of the four that I could watch every now and then. There are some that I probably will never watch again.
For me, I would have to say On Leather Wings is probably one I'll never watch again, despite the fact that it's pretty much the debut. Christmas with the Joker, that's one I like it, but I'd have to be in the kind of festive holiday mood to sit and watch it.
Yeah.
Nothing to Fear fits perfectly around this time of year. Probably wouldn't watch it other than that. The Last Laugh, I could put that in any day of the week. That would be my 10 out of 10. And Christmas with the Joker would be like a 8 out of 10. Nothing to Fear would be 7. And On Leather Wings would be 5.
Yeah.
So, with that, we'll get right into the outro. Thank you for listening to Legends of the Dark Knight. There are several ways to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show. First, you can visit the website, geekcastradio.com. You can also leave our show feedback in iTunes. And you can follow us on Twitter, which is LOT Dark Knight. My Twitter name is SCP-21, not 29. What is your Twitter name?
TFG2. Oh, no, wait. TFG1 Mike.
That would be funny if it was TFG2 or Burnt Toast. Sorry, I had to pull that one over. Become a fan of us on Facebook by searching out Geekcast Radio Network, and be sure to comment there as well. You can call the voicemail line and tell us the show you're leaving the message for and your name. The number is 502-526-5821. We hope that you enjoyed this episode of Legends of the Dark Knight and wish that you'll join us next time when we'll be discussing Pretty Poison, The Underdwellers, POV, Forgotten, and Be a Clown. For now, I'm Steve Megatron Phillips with
TFG and Mike. I can already tell you that Forgotten is one of my favorite episodes of the entire series.
Well, I've forgotten what that episode's about, so I'll have to wait until then. Yes, pun on words. So, saying in the immortal words of Batman, I am vengeance, I am the night, I am Batman. Thank you for listening. Until next time.